Head On Radio Network. I do want to remind you that it's a listener-supported show, and things are kind of lean here. Not for the host. The host doesn't get paid, but for paying the bills, and I hope some of you will help out if you can.
This is the Quality News Network. In central Baghdad today, not far from the heavily fortified Green Zone, nearly 1,000 U.S. and Iraqi soldiers fought militants for 10 hours in an intense firefight. American helicopters and F-18 warplanes were called in. The Iraqi Defense Ministry reports that 50 militant fighters were killed, 21 were captured. There's no word yet on U.S. or Iraqi casualties. Tomorrow evening, President Bush will give a televised speech to the nation about his strategy in Iraq. He is expected to announce a U.S. troop surge of 20,000 additional forces. A U.S. defense official confirmed today that before the end of this month, the first wave of new troops will go into Iraq. The president will try to rally the country behind his plan, even though the latest ABC News Washington Post poll shows only 17% of those polled support an increase in U.S. troops. 3 out of 4 say they do not approve of how the president has conducted the war. Congressional Democrats are expected to challenge President Bush's plan, which they see as an escalation of the nearly 4-year-long Iraq war. Today, Massachusetts Senator Ted Kennedy said he will introduce legislation that would deny the funding for the troop boost unless Congress agrees to it first. In a speech at the National Press Club today, he said, quote, "Iraq is George Bush's Vietnam," end quote. The U.S. has launched new attacks against suspected al-Qaeda members in Somalia. At least 31 civilians were killed. The second round of attacks by U.S. helicopter gunships came a day after the first offensive. In the Straits of Hormuz at the entrance to the Persian Gulf yesterday, a U.S. nuclear submarine struck a Japanese oil tanker. No one was hurt. 40% of the world's oil supplies travel through that region. In Venezuela, President Hugo Chavez says he'll nationalize power and telecom companies and his country's central bank, moving Venezuela closer to socialism. He will be sworn in for his third 6-year term as president tomorrow. 4 of President Bush's appeals court nominees have withdrawn their nominations because of the new Democratic Senate majority. President Bush has chosen a Republican lawyer who served under Presidents Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan to be the next White House counsel. Fred Fielding will take the place of Harriet Myers, who announced her resignation last week. 4 weeks after he was rushed to the hospital with a brain hemorrhage, South Dakota Democratic Senator Tim Johnson has been upgraded to fair condition, yet he remains in intensive care. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are coming up next.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking. Here's a guy who not only banks at the bank, he helped build the bank building.
Yes, sir.
Do you find the fact that it's a local bank appealing?
Yes, that's just it. It was the local people in the community that originally started the bank, and that's why he got involved.
It's a local bank with big bank benefits. It's part of a network of banks. Does
yes.
that mean anything to you?
Absolutely. Having a bank that can handle a big project really helps, because some banks aren't tailored to handle big business, and they can handle the big business for sure. They have no limitations to what they can do for your business.
I do my business banking and my personal banking with them.
Both.
Absolutely.
You're double dipping.
You bet.
Above and beyond banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has proposed to extend health coverage to nearly all of California's 6.5 million uninsured residents. The health plan would require businesses with 10 or more employees to offer insurance to workers or pay 4% of their payroll into a state fund. German scientists confirmed that drinking tea is good for you and it can reduce the risk of heart disease and stroke. However, the researchers found that adding milk to tea completely blocks the beneficial health effects. Radio talk show host Howard Stern, who is on Sirius Satellite Radio, received an $83 million bonus today in stock shares because the company surpassed its subscriber target for 2006. Steve Jobs, the chief executive of Apple, has just announced the company's first phone, the iPhone, which will also be a music player. However, it won't be on the market until mid-2007, and the price will start at $500. Also at Macworld in San Francisco today, Jobs revealed that more than 2 billion songs have been sold through Apple's iTunes online music store. At the Las Vegas International Consumer Electronics Show, the world's largest LCD television set was introduced. It's made by Sharp Electronics and has a 108-inch screen. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $55.64 a barrel and near the close of Wall Street today. The Dow is down 6 points, the Nasdaq up 5, and the S&P 500 flat. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
and the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
All right, everybody, welcome aboard Foxed Up here for a Tuesday afternoon, early Tuesday evening, or, well, Wednesday morning if you're over on this side of the planet. As usual, this is Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, coming to you from Sydney, Australia, via the wonderful studios in West Virginia. We got a packed bit of show today. We got lots of interesting kind of news and things happening, some relating to our first solar electric plant here in Australia, a little bit of background information on the technology behind that. Some stuff on that hybrid cars actually will save you money. For those of you that out there that think that, you know, it's going to be too expensive. Ha ha ha. The studies are showing that being green is economically sound. How's that for a concept? And we have a very, very special track of the day. So all you budding musicians, guitar players, those of you who may have only played guitar when you were a kid for 6 weeks, you probably remember the old Mel Bay beginner modern guitar methods and modern fiddle methods and modern mandolin methods. So we got a track dealing with Mr. Mel Bay a little bit later, and that'll be later. So I think first thing is I and thank you to Gene, our hiya, the news ninja, for sending this one to me last night. Out of MIT's Technology Review, there's a great piece here about cheap, super-efficient solar. Solar power modules that concentrate the power of the sun are becoming more viable. And this is the exact technology that is being used in the proposed solar electric plant that's about to break ground in Victoria sometime soon. And it says here, technologies collectively known as concentrating photovoltaics are starting to enjoy their day in the sun. Ha ha ha. Thanks to advances in solar cells, which absorb light and convert it into electricity, and the mirror lens-based concentrator systems that focus light on them. The technology could soon make solar power as cheap as electricity from the grid. Hello? Did you hear that? As cheap as electricity from the grid. The idea of concentrating sunlight to reduce the size of solar cells and therefore to cut costs has been around for decades, but interest in the technology has picked up in the past year. Last month, Japanese electronics giant Sharp Corporation showed off its new system for focusing sunlight with a Fresnel lens used in lighthouses into super-efficient solar cells, which are about twice as efficient as conventional silicon cells. Other companies such as SolFocus, based in Palo Alto, California, and Energy Innovations, based in Pasadena, California, are rolling out new concentrators. And the company that supplied the long-lived photovoltaic cells for the Mars rovers, Boeing subsidiary Spectrolab, based in Sylmar, California, is supplying more than 1 million cells for concentrator projects, including the one in Australia, that will generate enough power for 3,500 homes. And this is, you know, this is why, this is one of those things, you know, whatever it is, carbon neutral, sustainable, is economically viable, and it will become more so and in a shorter period of time, the more investment we put in. So if this technology is able to be used in the first ever plant here in Australia for 3,500 homes, just think by the time they get done building that one where the technology is going to be for when they build the next one. And we shouldn't be building them one at a time. We should be building them 10 at a time. And the article continues saying, the thinking behind concentrated solar power is simple. Because energy from the sun, although abundant, is diffuse, generating 1 gigawatt of power the size of a typical utility-scale plant, using traditional photovoltaics requires a 4-square-mile area of silicon, says Jerry Olson, a research scientist at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory in Golden, Colorado. A concentrator system, he says, would replace most of the silicon with plastic or glass lenses or metal reflectors, requiring only as much semiconductor material as it would take to cover an area the size of a typical backyard. And because decreasing the amount of semiconductor needed makes it affordable to use much more efficient types of solar cells. The total footprint of the plant, including the reflectors or lenses, would only be 2.5 square miles. This approach is distinct from concentrated thermal solar power, which concentrates the heat from the sun to power turbines or Stirling engines. I just find this stuff absolutely fantastic. And I hope that, you know, the fact that Australia has taken this step, which, you know, in they're talking about one solar plant and 25 bloody nuke-driven plants. I kind of wish that it was no nuke-driven plants and they had, you know, plans for 25 or 50 of these solar generation plants. Because, I mean, if there was any country on the planet that should be utilizing solar power to its maximum, it's this little island nation, of 20 some million people here known as Australia. So, you know, this is the kind of technology that, and just imagine if the United States government removed the subsidies to the oil and gas industries and put them into this technology. How fast would this stuff develop? What do you reckon? I reckon it would develop pretty darned fast. This is the way to go. This is absolutely the way to go. I mean, clean coal is still a dream, a pipe dream as far as I'm concerned. This is real stuff here. This is ingenuity, technology, and action to save the environment. So we're about to head out to our first break here in just a minute. So if you want to get on the program, you can call in at 1-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877- 443-2366 or email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. We'll be back with today's track of the day from the day Finger Pickers took over the world, Chet Atkins and Tommy Emmanuel, Ode to Mel Bay, coming up after we take this break. So a couple messages and we'll be right back. We'll see you on the other side.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is the known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robertson. after time, and it goes back for years, you know. Let's just talk a minute about his business ventures. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that breached that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, they did.
You, no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Isn't that? Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Fox Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And a bit of great old Aussie rock cruising on by there. Before we get to the track of the day, right before we started, again, hi! yeah, our news ninja Gene sent me another really great link. And we'll try and get this posted on, it's not on the show post at the moment, but I'll see about getting this on a little bit later. But at the community at GAIM, GAIAM.com, they have a really cool renewable energy resource page. And there's all kinds of stuff here, you know, and I think this would be a great place to start if you've been thinking that you want to, you know, make your, you know, run your home on solar power, you know, get off the grid. Stuff about inverters. There's articles on four ways to triple the life of solar electric system batteries. All kinds of interesting stuff. And there's one particular right at the top. It has a thing that says, what's it going to cost me to go solar? And they give you a little bit of a checklist and a formula to give you a general idea of what it will cost you personally to turn your home into a beautifully green and solar-run entity. And it's fairly simple. You just have to figure out your kilowatt hour usage, and there's a couple of other things about calculating in peak hours. And I think it comes down to being based on $9 a kilowatt. So basically $9,000 per kilowatt hour of power. Calculated in, I do believe, I think that was a quarterly type calculation. But anyway, we'll get that link up. There's a whole bunch of stuff here. I'm gonna have a very close look at this. And there's some things about, you know, top five things you can do for the Earth and where to start, and how to be part of the solution to global warming. But there's heaps of great stuff here, and they also have, you know, we might not be big fans of advertisements, but they've got a great featured products listing here. Things like sine wave inverters, and one thing that they show here that I really want is one of these solar voltaic backpacks, where the back flap on your, you know, backpack is a big solar cell, and you can charge your PDA, your mobile phone, your MP3 player in basically the same time as if you plugged it into the outlet. So I mean, how cool, if you're walking to school or work, you can just plug your mobile phone straight into your backpack and charge it as you're walking to class, for those of you that are at uni or whatever. But you know, these are really, really simple things, you know. And how many people go in straight when they get home, plug into the charger and leave that charger plugged in all the time, running all the time, and even if you don't have something plugged into it, the transformer plugged into the wall wart is trickling power off. So, you know, these are just really, really kind of neat things that we can do. So when it comes time that you want a new backpack, I reckon you should go and get one of these, and one of the big ones is from a company called Reware, and there's also another outfit, I think they're called Voltaic, that make a very similar backpack type product. So okay, the track of the day. I was listening to this album yesterday afternoon. This is an album, Chet Atkins and Tommy Emmanuel. Now, Chet Atkins is known as Mr. Guitar, right? Probably the greatest chicken picker, finger picker that's ever walked. You know, had play everything and kind of recreated country and jazz all by his lonesome. And back in 1997, he recorded this album with Tommy Emmanuel called "The Day Finger Pickers Took Over the World." Now, you want a family record? This is one of them. I mean, you want to talk about an album that I reckon can grab the imagination of everyone from, you know, 5 to 105. This has got to be one of them. Some people have made claims that this album was Chet Atkins passing on the torch of the greatest walking finger picker to Tommy Emmanuel. And that very possibly could be true, because I swear, when it comes to a thumb and two fingers, you really can't go past these two gentlemen. But this is an album by two guitar players playing beautiful guitar, and the couple of songs that have lyrics are kind of minorly on the hokey side, but absolutely wonderful tracks about guys who love guitars and writing lyrics about playing guitar. So the title track, which you'll hear a little bit of come back from the bottom of the hour, is basically all, it's just very comical, it's very silly, some wonderful guitar playing. But the track we're going to play is Ode to Mel Bay. Now, for anyone in the past, gee, it's got to be 50 years, who ever, you know, wanted to play guitar, got that, you know, Sears guitar, probably, chances are, you ended up with a Mel Bay book. You know, there's the Modern Guitar Method 1, Method 2, and all that. And, you know, basically the original guitar chord chart book. And so this track is a very, very hokey lyric. Mel Bay, you taught us how to play. But what's quite fun in this track is you'll hear individual little solos in the song, which are actually licks from the first, the level one guitar book, the level one violin book, and I believe the level one mandolin book. And you get to actually hear two of the greatest walking guitar players have to force themselves to play like beginner children. And so you'll hear these leads that you know, any of you that are parents who have a young upstart of a musician who's just, you know, starting to work out the dexterity of his fingers on the guitar, the sound of these solos should be very, very familiar to you. So and just as far, a great album to listen to when you're outside in the backyard, you know, working in the yard, whatever. This is a happy record, beyond all description. And like I said, just two of the, if not the greatest, chicken picking guitar players that have ever walked the planet. And Tommy Emmanuel is an Australian. He was in a band before he broke off and started doing solo stuff. He was in a band called Dragon. And I worked with a guy at a production company on and off, who the floor manager, his brother was the drummer from Dragon. And when asked what he thought of Tommy Emmanuel as a guitar player, his response was, "Best two damn guitar players I've ever heard in my life." And when Tommy left Dragon, they had to replace him with two guys. Fact. So without further ado, here we go. Ode to Mel Bay. Hit it, Agnes.
Mel Bay, in your manual, you taught us how to hold the pick. You gotta hold it in this manner to play them fancy licks. Now we're happily strumming along, and you ought to hear us play. And I guess we owe it all to you. Thanks a lot, Mel Bay. Mel Bay, Mel Bay, we just want to say, we wouldn't know what we're doing if you had shown the way. Mel Bay, Mel Bay, every time we play, we always think of you, and I hope you'll have a nice day. Take it! Mel Bay. On page 21, you showed us how to play a G. On page 22, you taught us how to play a D. But lordy, oh lordy, we never learned to play an E, 'cause someone in the outhouse stole page 23. I'm going down to Groom and buying a ukulele. I want to learn to play fairy shells and a ukulele lady. I just bought your book, Mel Bay, on how to play the fiddle. I can play on that high string and those in the middle.
would know what we're doing if you had shown the way. Mal Bay, Mal Bay, every time we play, we always think of you and hope you'll have a nice day. We're available for advances, that wouldn't be a task.
And we're ready to sign autographs if anyone should ask.
You know we're getting better than we ever thought we could.
Please send us another book and we'll play twice as good.
Mal Bay, Mal Bay, we just want to say we wouldn't know what we're doing if you hadn't shown the way. Mal Bay, Mal Bay, every time we play, we always think of you and I hope you'll have a nice day. Have a good one, Mal.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Come on, Fred, open your eyes!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
Quite subtle and the mood low-key. The sky was overcast, you could hardly see, and the creatures all boogied to a different frequency. The day the finger pickers took over the world. Yeah.
Yeah, it happened one day. Way back.
Alright, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And that there is a taste of the title track from The Day Finger Pickers Took Over the World. And wouldn't be a bad thing, really. There's nothing like finger pick guitar. I just love it. And like I said, if you have a struggling young musician in your household, get this album just so you can play that Mel Bay track. Because if anything, just shows where the beginnings lead to, with a bit of hard work and love and determination. Chet Atkins and Tommy Emmanuel are a couple of pretty good guys to look up to. But enough about that. We may have to do some more Chet Atkins and things like that in the future. And I've got a whole bunch of music from all those, you know, blind guys from the Delta as well. So we'll probably do some of that stuff, Blind Willie McTell and all that kind of thing. But we'll save that for another day. Okay, this is kind of this is a weird story. Weird as in disturbing, weird as in at the beginning you wonder why this isn't, why I consider this environmental. But anyway, from alternate.org in their Enviro Health section, precocious puberty is on the rise. Kids these days are growing up too fast in more ways than one. American girls are reaching puberty up to a year earlier than in previous generations, with some children showing signs of sexual development as young as age 3. In some cases, girls are budding breasts before they've even learned to read. Research calls this phenomenon precocious puberty, which some say is on the rise. 48% of African-American girls and 15% of Caucasian girls show physical signs of puberty by age 8, according to a study of 17,000 U.S. girls published in Pediatrics in 1997. In a subsequent study of more than 2,000 boys, lead author Marsha Herman Giddens found that 38% of African-American boys and 30% of Caucasian boys showed signs of sexual development by age 8. What's going on? Although scientists have yet to prove definitive causes, many suspect that hormone-mimicking chemicals, obesity, and stress all contribute to precocious puberty. The chemicals, often called endocrine disruptors, are of particular concern because they're everywhere, in food, water, personal care products, some plastics, and many consumer goods. Pediatrician Darshik Sanghavi notes in the New York Times that outbreaks of precocious puberty are most often traced to accidental exposure to drugs in hormone-laden products. He describes in a case in which a kindergarten-age boy and his younger sister had both begun growing pubic hair. In addition, the boy was exhibiting aggressive behavior. When Sanghavi's associates examined the children, they discovered that both had extremely elevated levels of testosterone, equivalent to those of an adult male, and that their father was using a concentrated testosterone skin cream for cosmetic and sexual purposes. The children had absorbed the testosterone from normal skin contact with their father. So, you know, you got to be careful what you're doing to yourself. It can affect your kids. Let's see. It's a problem that's not likely to go away anytime soon. The New York Times noted that prescriptions for products containing testosterone are on the rise, doubling to more than 2.4 million between 2000 and 2004. Of course, we can't blame it all on testosterone. Phthalates, ubiquitous industrial plasticizers common in everything from personal care products to vinyl and plastic packaging, mimic estrogen. So do compounds of some pesticides and flame retardants. A growing body of evidence suggests that these and other endocrine-disrupting chemicals can interfere with sexual development. An ideally widely introduced in the groundbreaking book Our Stolen Future by Theo Coburn, Diane Dumanowski, and John Peterson Myers. In the two decades since the book's publication, evidence has mounted that substantiates its main thesis. The September 2006 issue of Alternative Medicine points out that a number of human studies have found possible links between endocrine disruptors and early puberty. One study found that Puerto Rican girls whose breasts developed earlier were 3 times more likely to have elevated levels of phthalate esters in their blood. Another reported that girls who had been accidentally exposed in the womb to polybrominated biphenyls, common flame retardants containing compounds that mimic estrogen, began menstruating a year earlier than a control group. So, you know, I know that's a bit weird and a bit out there, but, you know, this is, again, we're constantly exposing ourselves to things that substances, chemicals, passively, actively, that we really don't understand the effects that they have. So, you know, and they also say that some research have linked precocious puberty with factors including obesity, stress, and sedentary lifestyle. In the animal industry, to hasten puberty, they keep animals confined. They feed them really rich diets, and they grow really fast. Marcia Herman Giddens notes in Alternative Medicine, that's exactly what we are doing to our children. So they're basically equating the sedentary lifestyle of today to industrialized farming of children. And, you know, it's just, you know, these scary stuff. It's very, very scary stuff. You know, and how bad would this father be feeling, you know, finding out that it was because of, you know, his testosterone cream for his own vanity that ended up changing the body clock of his children? That's just, you know, that's, I'll just leave it there. Okay. Going on to things regarding the global fight on climate change. UN official wants a summit on global warming out of Paris, and this is on ENN.com, the environmental news network. UN Secretary Ban Ki-moon should call a meeting of heads of government to decide the next step against global warming, the UN official responsible for tackling climate change said Monday. Vo de Boer, head of the UN Climate Secretariat, told reporters there was not much time left to prepare a successor to the Kyoto Protocol, which expires in 2012. The window of opportunity is closing, he said. De Boer said he hopes to meet Ban during a trip to New York next week. The last annual UN meeting of about 100 environmental ministers in Nairobi in November made scant progress on finding ways to widen the UN's Kyoto Protocol. Several ideas have been discussed recently, such as French President Jacques Chirac's plan unveiled last week for a conference to promote a tax on imports from states that refuse to join Kyoto's successor. And who does that affect? Australia and the United States. I'm wondering how all these initiatives are going to contribute to global negotiating process, De Boer said. I'm really hoping that the new Secretary General will feel he's in a position to show the kind of leadership the world seems to be calling for. And the global consciousness has, we've kicked over that tipping point. I think most of the developed world has finally grasped onto the effect that we played willful ignorance far too long. The time to act was in the 1970s, so we really, really have some catching up to do. And it continues on saying, Kyoto obliges 35 developed nations to cut emissions of greenhouse gases by 5% below 1990 levels by 2008-2012. But Kyoto nations account for only about one-third of global greenhouse gas emissions. Environment ministers involved in talks on Kyoto are often junior cabinet members and lack clout. And De Boer said the problems raised in talks on the environment were often economic in nature. Again, this is part of, you know, explaining to those that pay attention to the reality that being sustainable, being green, being environmentally conscious is profitable. And in fact, doing so is key to future profitability. And, you know, we just, again, got to just keep rolling up all these stories into that big newspaper wad and go for violent osmosis and beat it through the 29% that deny. figuratively speaking, of course. So, you know, reading this article makes one wish that, you know, we had more senior people with more power and clout involved in these discussions, but, you know, hopefully, I said that a lot, you know, we'll see more effort and real determination to the cause of slowing down the damage. So we're going to take our last break here for the afternoon, the morning, the evening, depending on where you reside. Got a couple more things to cover when we get back, so stick around. You're listening to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. You got a few minutes to get in on the conversation at 1-877-443-2366, or email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. And, you know, we'll be back to wrap it up straight after this.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free. And it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
As I understand the conflict right now between the President's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the President is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop, right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Let my heart to the sapphire's round casing.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Just a little bit of time left to cover a last couple of things here, and boy, I wonder if Jimmy Barnes could come up with a sequel to that song, which is all about Vietnam. I wonder what the case on for Gulf War II would be. But anyway, okay, out of the Independent, they have the top environmental story is how richest fuel global warming, but poorest suffer most from it. And so, you know, all these people that, you know, say, well, these people have got to get their game together. It's us, the United States, the UK, Australia, that carry the burden on the damage done. We're the ones that need to really, really step up our game and lead the way for the rest of the planet. Article says here, by the end of tomorrow, the average Briton will have caused as much global warming as the typical Kenyan will over this whole year, according to a report. The findings highlight the glaring imbalance between the rich countries that produce most of the pollution and the poor countries that suffer the consequences in the forms of drought, flood, starvation, and disease. The World Development Movement, WDM, a poverty campaign group, has drawn up a climate calendar showing the dates when the UK will have emitted as much CO2 gas as other countries will in a year. Unsurprisingly, the poorest countries such as Afghanistan and the Democratic Republic of Congo produce virtually no carbon emissions. Even populous countries such as India will be overtaken in its emissions by the UK in a month's time. In fact, 164 countries in the world have smaller carbon footprint than the UK, while just 20, mainly including the major oil producers as well as the United States, have a larger one. By the end of tomorrow, the average Briton will have produced 0.26 tons of CO2 emissions. The poorest countries in the world with 738 million people make no contribution to climate change, but it is those same people who face the worst consequences, Benedict Southworth, WDM's director, said. 160,000 people are already dying every year due to climate change-related diseases, and billions will face drought, flood, starvation, and disease. WDM has calculated the figures by taking the annual CO2 emissions for each country, dividing by the number of people, and then working out a daily contribution. Thus, while an Afghan on average will produce an annual equivalent of 0.02 tons of CO2, a Briton will produce 9.62 tons, and the most prolific polluter, someone from the United Arab Emirates, will emit about 56 tons. 56 tons out of the United Arab Emirates. From each person. Absolutely unbelievable. WDM acknowledges that its figures were based on averages that masked differences between life in rural and urban areas, but said the figures still expose the injustice of global warming. It is the richest people in the world who have produced and who are still producing the most greenhouse gases causing climate change, Mr. Southworth said. The report said 7,800 Kenyans, Tanzanians, and Rwandans died every year from diseases that were related to climate change. It warned that a 2% rise in temperatures could lead to as many as 60 million or more people being exposed to malaria in Africa. So, again, I hammer home the point that it's those of us that continue to do the damage that must lead the way on creating real change. They reference the Stern Report, which I'm so glad for the effect that the Stern Report had across the planet. Not nearly as much in the United States. Well, that's because the United States media is still playing denial games. And what I do find funny, and a friend of mine was over here the other day saying, yeah, you know, climate change and everything has become all new and hip, so hip that Rupert Murdoch has jumped on board. And this is very true. There's the Murdoch channel here in Australia seems to be doing suddenly, like the flick of a switch, more environmental program stuff, documentaries, things like that. So, you know, even, you know, the walking media devil himself, Rupert Murdoch, realizes that this will sell him newspapers. People have enough interest in the subject now and are wanting to take an active role. And then there are even better things than the Murdoch media. I've mentioned it before, the Sunrise program over here. They're in the midst of their Cool the Globe campaign. And the campaign at the moment is for people to remove 100,000 tons of greenhouse gases from the atmosphere by Australia Day, which is the 26th of January. And so far, I think they're somewhere between 10 and 15% of the way to their goal. It's not quite going as quickly as they had hoped. But this cause is interesting because you go and do your carbon calculator for your home, and then it comes up with a dollar figure. And you pay that money, and it goes to an environmental trading outfit that then, or carbon trading outfit that then goes and plants trees, distributes compact fluorescence, you know, whatever it is to counter their environmental footprint. So they've already done this as a program, and now they're offering from the same company that got them their Kyoto certification, have set up this arrangement where the average Australian citizen can go and actually pay for their damage, which is something that industry is going to have to catch up on, and it's breaking the idea of externalized costs. People that are taking advantage of this opportunity are choosing to recognize their carbon footprint and take responsibility for it and actually pay for the damage that they do. So, you know, again, thank you to Sunrise here for having made the environment a nonpartisan issue, which I think is probably the best thing one can do to move it forward and remove the radical greeny activist, you know, rubber stamp kind of, you know, stereotype from it, even though I will be happy to have, you know, a t-shirt that says, you know, radical greenie and wear it. You know, I'm not, that doesn't bother me, but a lot of other people get scared by it. So anyway, with that, folks, we're going to have to wrap it up here. We're getting really, really close up onto the end of things. As usual, thank you to Agnes, our my wonderful producer, who has brilliantly taken care of things over in West Virginia today. Bob Kincaid's coming up next, and I'd like to thank him for announcing the program. Ben Birch of White Rose is running a fundraiser at the moment, so now is that time of year to go by, drop some cash, because if you love progressive and liberal radio and you listen to this network, you got to go and do the right thing, because you wouldn't be hearing me or Bob or Guy or Mark or the new guy, Jeff, whose show I really enjoyed yesterday. You wouldn't be hearing any of us if it weren't for Ben Birch and the White Rose Society. So go by there, do the right thing. Thank you, as usual, to the Carpenters. They make everything here on the Horn happen. And thanks to our news ninjas. Hi-ya! And the bloggers. You all make our web community kind of happen. And don't forget to check out CenTab, the Central Tabulator, CENTAB.headonradionetwork.com, your Head On Radio Network hub for the road to the 2008 election. So, folks, stick around. Bob Kincaid is live tonight. He'll be coming up straight after the news, and I reckon he's ready to just, you know, blow a cork, because, you know, he wasn't on air yesterday, and you know what he's like when he's not on air for a while. So I reckon we'll have quite a bit of the filibobster today. So anyway, folks, have a great day. Thanks for spending this time with me today, and we'll see you tomorrow. So be good, be green, and we'll see you tomorrow.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes, eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be. I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against. would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish. And sometimes I would rather face not eating than face licking it clean and admitting when I'm selfish. And I tell you that I'm suffering from the worst type of loneliness.
This is the Quality News Network. In central Baghdad today, not far from the heavily fortified Green Zone, nearly 1,000 U.S. and Iraqi soldiers fought militants for 10 hours in an intense firefight. American helicopters and F-18 warplanes were called in. The Iraqi Defense Ministry reports that 50 militant fighters were killed, 21 were captured. There's no word yet on U.S. or Iraqi casualties. Tomorrow evening, President Bush will give a televised speech to the nation about his strategy in Iraq. He is expected to announce a U.S. troop surge of 20,000 additional forces. A U.S. defense official confirmed today that before the end of this month, the first wave of new troops will go into Iraq. The president will try to rally the country behind his plan, even though the latest ABC News Washington Post poll shows only 17% of those polled support an increase in U.S. troops. 3 out of 4 say they do not approve of how the president has conducted the war. Congressional Democrats are expected to challenge President Bush's plan, which they see as an escalation of the nearly 4-year-long Iraq war. Today, Massachusetts Senator Ted Kennedy said he will introduce legislation that would deny the funding for the troop boost unless Congress agrees to it first. In a speech at the National Press Club today, he said, quote, "Iraq is George Bush's Vietnam," end quote. The U.S. has launched new attacks against suspected al-Qaeda members in Somalia. At least 31 civilians were killed. The second round of attacks by U.S. helicopter gunships came a day after the first offensive. In the Straits of Hormuz at the entrance to the Persian Gulf yesterday, a U.S. nuclear submarine struck a Japanese oil tanker. No one was hurt. 40% of the world's oil supplies travel through that region. In Venezuela, President Hugo Chavez says he'll nationalize power and telecom companies and his country's central bank, moving Venezuela closer to socialism. He will be sworn in for his third 6-year term as president.